Chiefs are on to Tampa Bay, and we got to start talking about that because it's not the typical scenario for this game. Some changes to the lineup, some changes to the venue are possible today on Locked On Chiefs.
From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back, everybody. The aftermath of the loss to the Colts has now got us turning our thoughts towards Tampa Bay. We're going to get into that as we know it today on Monday. We have a lot to go. Thanks for making us your first listen today. Check out the rest of the podcast network for your second, maybe the draft show. We are your team every day for free on every platform, and we have a lot going on. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics and Performance Consulting, as well as NFL33.com and RGR Football.
And I'm Chris Clark. Thank you for listening. We do appreciate it. And there is a lot to talk about. The hurricane possibly interrupting this game and changing the venue. A kicker that is, from what we're hearing, gone, which makes a lot of sense. He was a practice squad kicker anyway. And, you know, big questions as to how this game is going to get played, if it's going to get played this weekend, which I would imagine it will. Just the question as to where.
Yeah, absolutely. And folks, we are brought to you by Prize Picks. You want to check them out. I'm going to tell you more about them in a little bit, but it is a unique way to pick a couple of players. Are they going to make more points or less points or break their margin? You can get it all plus 100% instant deposit bonus at prizepicks.com with that promo code Locked On. Big story, Andy Reid, the team talking to the press, a lot of, quite frankly, ho-hum, boilerplate, hey, we got to all get better and make this work in the fallout of this game where everybody fell on their face. When you take a look at the way that it happened, it all comes back to one thing for me, and I'm really interested to see if you see the same thing. It's just a lack of preparation. They thought Gus Bradley was going to do his normal cover three thing. The offense wasn't prepared for the cover four and the two high looks and the stunts that they ran up front. It just wasn't adaptable enough in the way that they put the game plan together.
And I agree with that. I think that there's lack of execution on both sides of the ball, plus obviously special teams, which was a disaster. And all of those combined, they allow you to lose to a team that's not as good as you are. And I know it's any given Sunday, and better teams can lose to worse teams. And obviously that happened on Sunday for Kansas City, especially in a scenario where I believe they didn't lose the turnover, or they lost the turnover battle, or was it tied? I think it was 2-2 now that I think about it. But that doesn't usually happen on Sundays. And yeah, I understand the lack of preparation on offense. You expect a defensive coordinator to do something and he does something completely different. The lack of in-game changes is a cause for concern. But the bigger concern overall is the defense played well for the most part. Don't get me wrong. They gave up two touchdowns and you don't like that, especially against a team that hadn't scored a touchdown very often this year so far. And you were in a scenario where you should have beat a team pretty handily, but you gave the game away in special teams in multiple different fashions. And really, you even threw in a trick play that really didn't get net that much. I mean, I guess it gained yardage and it went for positive yardage, but why throw that in a game like this? That just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, there were a couple of points that reeked of desperation, and desperation is what you have in the kicking game. One piece of news today is that Amendola, the practice squad kicker, has been waived. He will not be kicking for the Kansas City Chiefs this week against Tampa Bay, wherever that happens. We'll talk about that in the coming segment, as well as later about who stood out on the defense, which was the shining star of this ballgame. But that tells me a couple of things. One, the preparation of that kicker was not good enough, and they just couldn't roll with it anymore. And secondly, I have to think that that means they feel Bucker is close to returning and should be able to kick against the Tampa Bay Bucs, because I'm fairly certain they don't want to put Justin Reid in the position where he has to do it.
I disagree. I don't think it has anything to do with Bucker. I mean, it might have a little bit to do with Bucker, I guess, just because that's part of you're hoping he's available for this week, but I don't think they're going to put him out there in a bad scenario because to me, he's a Pro Bowl type kicker and deserves to be that type of guy. You don't risk a further injury and him having to miss more time. In my mind, I'm thinking that they're looking at another kicker. I mean, he's a practice squad guy anyway, so he could only come up for, I believe, the two games. So he wasn't going to be able to stay longer than that. Maybe they bring somebody else back on the practice squad. But again, and we talked about this yesterday, the thing that stood out to me watching that game is I don't think they run that fake. And we may never know, but I don't think they run that fake if it's Butker one And two, I don't think they run that fake if it's a kicker that they trust within, you know, within the 45 to 40 yard range. And I don't think they trusted him.
Yeah, I agree with you on both counts. That makes a lot of sense. I hope that it means that Bucker will be back. If it is Justin Reed, I have a relatively good like field of confidence in him in terms of range and ability to do this. Is it simply that if that's the way that you have to go, you're just going to live with whatever the result is and understand that you're going to have to put up more points just as a happenstance because you don't have a true kicker?
I'm not going to be shocked if they don't do the same thing that they with the Amendola and bringing another kicker on the practice squad. That would be, in my mind, I think that's the direction they probably go. I think that you are going to see another practice squad kicker sometime this week added. They will do their normal tryouts. And maybe they had a tryout on some Monday we just don't know about, but I'm sure they'll have another tryout tomorrow if they didn't have one on Monday. And they'll add somebody on the practice squad. Now, whether or not they elevate him to actually play is a whole different scenario.
Right.
But I would imagine that they're going to at least give themselves the opportunity to have somebody, unless they know for sure that Butker is going to be there, which I don't think that they could feel good about because he's been out for 2 weeks, and you would think that you would feel comfortable if he's going to be healthy. But you don't know whether or not he could re-aggravate the injury this week. And the other side of it is you know, one all it takes is one little small misstep, and he's in a worse situation.
Yeah. And unlike yesterday, we don't truly know where this game is going to be played or what the conditions are going to be. We're going to take a look at that here in a second, but we're brought to you today by our friends at Prize Picks. You want to check them out because right now the line for Joe Burrow on Thursday night is 265 and a half yards. And the line on Patrick Mahomes against the Tampa Bay Bucks is 280.5 yards. In Prize Picks format, all you have to do is pick, do they go over? Do they come in less or more of that number in their personal performance? Super easy. If you love other games, you want to try something new, this format is super easy to play, and the current entries that you have can pay off huge, up to 10 times the money that you enter. All you have to do is pick 2 to 5 players, choose whether they'll score or run or get yardage more or less from that magic line that is set by Prize Picks. And that is how you play the game. You can play any sport. It isn't just football. It's all kinds of things, all the way down to NASCAR, tennis, MMA, Euro basketball, which I don't even know if that's different than American basketball, but thank you, Dr. Naismith, for all of your contributions to our world. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. Safe and fast withdrawals are always on the table. Current operational in 30 states and Canada. Download the Prize Pick apps for any app store, or just go to prizepicks.com and sign up for their version of daily fantasy sports. First time users get 100% deposit, instant bonus right on top. So if you put in 100, you get 100, and that's the way that it goes. Don't forget, you need that promo code Locked On when you sign up at prizepicks.com for that extra $100 deposit. When you put 100 in, that's Locked On at prizepicks.com. As it stands right now on Monday evening, it appears as though the Tampa Bay Bucks are making preparations to not practice in Tampa. Looks like they're heading to Miami and will be practicing at least, will prepare to have the ability to practice at least in Miami to avoid this this storm. I can't remember the name of it, but I know that it is growing in magnitude.
Is it Ida?
Is it Ida? Okay.
I'm not 100% on that, but I think so.
Okay, I'm not sure either. But end of the day is they're leaving town. That's the significance of where this is right now. And for the Chiefs, obviously you get to practice at home. That's not a problem. But it does make, especially for what could be a new kicker, what could be a kicker returning from injury, what could be, you know, a million other players on the field. Go ahead.
It's Hurricane Ian. Sorry.
Ian. Okay.
I apologize. I knew it started with an I. Yeah.
I'm just going to go Rappaport. It's fine. So Ian's going to show up and he's going to make life tough on whoever has to get out there on that field, especially if you're planting on 1 foot. So if, depending on the severity of how that hits the Tampa area, I have to think that this is really trepidatious for, like you said, not only Bucker, but anybody new coming in as well. In the end, they have to be able to be able to play in any condition. That's just the way it is. But there are other options, aren't there?
Yeah, and I think that what they're going to be looking at is I think they're probably going to move the game, and I think that's the best move for the NFL. Because the other reality is you have no idea until that hurricane hits and you see what it's going to do. You have no idea how it's going to impact the rest of that area. And that's the bigger problem is the stadium may be okay. The field may end up being okay. But how is it going to look if you're trying to host an NFL game when you still have half the residents without power? I mean, the logistics and the optics of that, I don't think the NFL wants. That would be my guess. Now, the one thing I will say is if they do move it elsewhere, obviously I think that favors Kansas City. But the other thing that's interesting to me is we're talking about a Tampa Bay team that has that scored less than the Chiefs put out in week one in three games.
Yeah.
They're 2-1.
Yeah.
There are they beat the Cowboys. Yeah, they beat the Cowboys, but Cowboys, you know, didn't play well that game. And yeah, they beat the Saints, but that isn't the Saints of old either. So there's a lot of questions there.
Yeah, a whole ton. And Tom Brady finally looks like Father Time may have caught up with him, or at least
why'd
the deal
you,
with the
devil.
Why'd
you have to go say that?
Because I've just been waiting to say that for a decade. I don't know. but in the rain and everything, like that's one thing. If this game does get moved, there are two teams that are playing in London this weekend that come from domes, both New Orleans and Minneapolis. As I understand, there's something scheduled in New Orleans. So the alternate site could be neutral in Minneapolis, which I think kind of resets the table in terms of a nice controlled environment, something Tom hasn't played in a long time. Mike Evans should be back. I think that tips the scale and evens the game out a little bit, doesn't it?
Probably, and I think our friend Seth Kaiser would be very happy if that ended up happening. But I will say, I think it evens it out a little bit, but I think the thing that really tips the scale in Kansas City's favor is they're playing on the road, but it's not going to be a real road game. They're not going to have the fan support that they would have in Tampa Bay. You're not going to have to deal with that type of issue. Tampa's not going to have its normal home game scenario, and they may end up having to travel on Saturday if it gets decided late.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of different scenarios here that could cause issues for either of these teams. And I think the other thing that you have to look at is when you start looking at this offense, Mike Evans is going to be back from his suspension. But even with Mike Evans, they haven't played well. They're struggling on offense. They have issues at their offensive line, which is a big issue for Tom Brady. If you don't give him protection and you don't give him time, he's going to struggle. And that's what you've seen over his throughout his career. And I know he's been fantastic, but anytime he's had a bad line, he has struggled at times.
It certainly makes things difficult. And I'll tell you this, like the other big caveat is like, if it does end up that it needs to be moved and it needs to go to Minnesota, that's what is that, 90 minutes in the air from Kansas City? Whereas Tampa Bay's going halfway across the country, that's definitely a logistics that you can't really plan for yet. And that may throw even more of a monkey wrench into what Tampa wants to do. Russell Gage, I think, is... Go ahead.
And getting hotel rooms for the entire team and the staff. And, I mean, just all the logistics that go into flying to places you weren't planning on going.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to it. Now, Russell Gage is there. I like his upside. I think I toyed with taking him in fantasy. I think somebody beat me to it. But, like, there are still untapped resources for the Tampa Bay Bucs that are going to require the defense to step back up minus a couple of players that we know made a difference this last weekend. We're going to talk about who the defense can rely on and what looks like it's changing coming up after this. So, when you take a step back, defense was the only thing that was sparkly and shiny and nice the other day, and it wasn't perfect by any means. But what's your big takeaway? Like, what do you lean on from this point?
I think you lean on the fact that you can actually stop the run. And I say that because you went against one of the best running backs in the NFL, and I really do think Taylor is one of those guys. And you kept him to 70 yards. And granted, they didn't have a great passing game, so it probably slowed him down a little bit. But holding Taylor to 70 yards, if you would have told me that Kansas City would have kept Taylor to 70 yards and the Colts to 20 points, I would have said that Kansas City wins that game going away.
Yeah,
without a doubt in my mind.
It wouldn't have even been close in mind, to tell you the truth. Like that was
right.
It's pretty shocking to me, to tell you the truth.
Yeah,
I think there are.
I was just gonna say, then you start getting into what it means for special teams and how that's going to get addressed. that's really the big key right now, is how are they going to address that going forward? Are they going to continue to put Sky Moore back there? Are they going to continue to put Isaiah Pacheco back there and have two rookies as your returners? I think you can do it. I think that it's a little bit of a reaction to say bench them both. But I certainly understand the thought process in Chiefs Kingdom. And as far as the kicker is concerned, we have already talked about that. They're going to have to look elsewhere, obviously, especially if they already released Amendola. But you have to have faith in your kicker. You have to be able to put him in and expect that he's going to make, you know, 70% of the kicks that he made. And he didn't make any. He didn't do anything in that game.
Or you have to blow the doors off of him. Score more points. Don't rely on the kicker. Like this
go for offense two every time.
Yeah, I mean, this offense is perfectly capable of putting up 40 points if they put their minds to it. It is clearly, for me, coming back to what we talked about in the first segment, preparation. It's understanding that you have to be more adaptable than just not getting the cover three shell you thought you were going to get. There has to be more to it. There are a couple of guys that stepped up this last week, and as we get the snap counts and everything in, I don't think anybody gave you more bang for the buck on the defensive side of the ball than Carlos Dunlap, because he played, what was it?
Absolutely.
19 snaps, 60 of them were pass rushes, and he got a sack and two other pressures. So, like, that is a really positive sign that you have.
Not just a sack, a strip sack.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's beyond. That's the bonus of the bonus of the bonus, right? But having that rotation continue to evolve, whether it's in Tampa, whether it's in Minnesota, or wherever it happens to be, that is the key, I think, because I agree with you. I don't know that they run very well, and some of the targets are iffy. So, getting to the quarterback might take a little bit longer to develop, but they have better shot at doing it now.
Yeah, and they're going against the Tampa line that's been struggling. That I can't emphasize that enough. They lost, I think, three of their core players on offensive line, either to injury or retirement this past offseason, and that's huge. I mean, you look at what it meant for Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes getting beat up on a weekly basis. They put up 12 points against the Green Bay Packers. I'm sorry, the Packers defense may be good. It's not that good. They can be an okay defense. Maybe they can even be a good defense. I don't think they can be great. But the Buccaneers without Mike Evans, the Buccaneers without the offensive line that they've had, are not playing up to where they should be, which should actually scare the Chiefs a little bit, considering what just happened on Sunday.
Yeah,
they cannot overlook this game again, because I do feel like they overlooked this game and they were looking forward to a game maybe in week six.
It could very possibly be. And I can understand the frustration there. I can even understand the frustration from Chris Jones. I don't know what was said. Clearly it was something, but he was frustrated because he didn't have the greatest day out. 41 pass snaps, two pressures. Colin Saunders got the same volume of pressure in 12 snaps. So on the plus side, Colin Saunders looks like, hey, that's the guy that we've been hoping to see for the last 18 months. The elbow injury set him back a year before that, and so it's like been this culmination. But on the downside, this is the first game where Chris Jones didn't really get to be effective. Now, Quentin Nelson has a big role to play in that. I don't think there's anybody.
I was wondering how many times he went against Nelson. Well, but that's what I don't know. I mean, he played defensive tackle. Does it actually tell you if he played against Nelson versus somebody else?
I don't have those numbers in front of me, no.
Yeah. See, so and that's the big key. Quentin Nelson is a beast. He is one of the best guards in the National Football League. And if they were playing him against Quentin Nelson, I think that is actually not smart on Spagnuolo's part. I think that they should have made an adjustment and moved him around a little bit more. I still saw him out of defensive end once or twice, and Karloff just going inside. So, I mean, they moved people around. They have the ability to do that. I think Chris Jones is going to be fine. I understand why he was frustrated. I understand that he was frustrated in that game. I guess, no matter what, I still feel like this is adults playing football. And unless you're going racial or something like that, I don't see a unsportsmanlike conduct penalty being something that should have registered when he didn't touch him.
Yeah.
It's not like he shoved him. It's not like he hit him. It's not like any of that. Guys you're going at each other trying to kill each other. That's the reality of it. And to get pissed off about language, unless you're going completely inappropriate, like I said, I don't get it. So I think that was borderline at best.
Well, we'll wait to see if there's a fine. I'm
sure there will be.
I don't expect it to be something that just slips through the cracks, but at least he'll be there. The other nice thing that we found from Andy on Monday is there are no other injuries. Brian Cook left the game. What I felt was kind of a redemption game for him. I thought he played decently after a total meltdown the week before against the Chargers. But he did leave the game at one point. The only guy that I remember saying, oh, like he may be hurt. Evidently he is not. So they should be at full strength. Obviously McDuffie's not back.
He came back in during that game though.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes you can play through that adrenaline and all that kind of thing. You know, you can make some of those things happen. But the other guy that I want to spotlight, because he is going to be tested, whether it's Godwin or Gage, Mike Evans back, Jalen Watson is going to be a prime target. Tom Brady knows where to put the ball, and he is going to test him. I was actually really happy with Jalen's performance. He did give up 5 receptions on 9 targets, but it was like, I want to say it was like a total of 56 yards. I can live with that. No touchdowns, no PBUs, but I can live. I'm sorry, 1 PBU, no interceptions. I can live with that line for Maruki.
Oh, I can too. I think that it's, especially with the position he's been put in, having to play as much as he is as a rookie, coming from a smaller school. And I think that he's played well past what I expected him to do. So I think that it's, in this scenario, you can take that from him. Even if he gives up 75 yards, you know, 75% or 65% completion percentage, yeah, you're not going to like it. But at the same time, look at who he's going up against. He's going up against one of the best QBs of all time and 2 legit stud wide receivers when they're playing well. And I don't know that both are playing well right now, but that's still going to be a tough matchup. And especially for a corner that is in his, what, this will be his 4th game. And he didn't play a lot in week 1. So it's going to be something to watch. I do think that he's playing a lot better than I would expect him to. I'm still surprised that Williams hasn't cracked the lineup at all. Not because I think that Watson hasn't been playing well enough. It's more of, I would think that Williams would give you, especially in a game like this, mm-hmm. where you're talking about Mike Evans, and Williams's size could be so huge, quite literally.
Because otherwise, I wonder, and we'll talk about this with Matt, folks, and we will have the game preview where we'll touch on this as well. You match up Mike Evans on whoever you think you have the best matchup, and if it is Jalen Watson, right now I'm sending him against Fenton all day long.
Yep.
That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I can't say I blame you. And then, you know, you have L'Jarius Sneed doing what Sneed does. And, you know, I will say this. I thought Spagnuolo really did well mixing up blitzes and sending people at different times in that game. And I hope that aggressiveness continues going forward, especially considering you're going against another guy that doesn't move in the pocket great. I mean, he can move, mm-hmm. but he's more of a statue, kind of like Matt Ryan is, as opposed to a guy like Mahomes, who's always moving around. So in my mind, I would love to see some exotic blitzes. I'm sure Brady has probably seen them all and can get some of them, but some of them completely surprised Matt Ryan. And Matt Ryan has been in the league not quite as long as Tom Brady, but quite a long time.
Agree. And I like the mix. There was definitely a lot of DBs like we've seen in the past, but there's also some linebacker blitzes that I think are paying off, and that's got to be a staple going forward. We're going to get into more of that tomorrow with Matt Derrick. Don't miss that show. Then we'll move on through the week. We'll be back with the preview definitely for Friday, and don't miss the inside intel that we're going to have on Thursday. That is a show, I think, I don't know about you, Chris, but I have probably the best time talking with David Harrison from over there at the Buck Show. A lot going on this week, folks. Be ready. We appreciate your time. We'll have more info. If this game is moved, we'll probably break it down for you in a special edition. Thanks for spending your time with us today. We'll talk to you then.